This is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, episode 35. We're pretty sure we're going to have a game this time around. Tomorrow, we're recording on Monday, 5 o'clock, Schoellkopf Field, renewal of the oldest rivalry in the game. It's Hobart and Cornell. We're joined by head coach Greg Raymond. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted.
So let's talk about the game that didn't happen on Friday and what happened and didn't happen in terms of communication. I mean, I'm just sitting there Friday morning looking at a winter storm warning, 7 to 10 inches of snow, and they're insistent they're going to have the field ready for 5 o'clock. So were there any offers or counter offers? Take us through what happened in terms of that game being scheduled and then not played.
Yeah, there were. I mean, you know, I think Ted, discretion is probably the best road here. There's two sides to every story, right? And I think the gist of it is Colgate really wanted a home game, and we just really wanted a game, a safe game, you know. And so we kind of went back and forth, and you know, I think as the week went on, we started to see that Friday may not be a great possibility. And, you know, our sports medicine staff and kind of health protocol started to get talked about frequently. And so, you know, and we just made the decision that and it was too late in the week to schedule that new game and to do. We weren't sure about the condition Saturday. We tried to move it to Thursday. That wasn't good on Colgate's end. Saturday wasn't good on our end. And, you know, I think just ultimately it's a bummer because we miss out on a highly competitive game. But in the end, it's just both administrations are fighting for what's best for their program. Right. And we couldn't find a good place between Hobart and Colgate for this game. So, you know, upsetting, but, you know, we moved on. I just wanted to make sure our fan base and our alumni base and everybody knew it wasn't for a lack of effort. That's for sure. We just hit a roadblock and couldn't find a way through it.
I know that rescheduling, especially midweek non-league games, is difficult. Is there going to be an effort to reschedule this game, or is it pretty much done at this point?
Well, we're making an effort. It's just, you know, Colgate being a Patriot League team, their league play start. I mean, the league's enormous. Their league play starts this week. So I think they are very reluctant to have midweek games. They already have one later in the year. And, you know, the dates that were available for us aren't great for a midweek game, or aren't great for them for a midweek game. And the dates they provided us just are already taken and yada, yada. So we're going to make an effort here to either reschedule that Colgate game or to find another opponent that maybe has had a canceled game or this and that, and see if anything makes sense going forward. But pretty soon, Ted, we're going to be, you know, kind of hemming and hawing with the NEC, and we're not going to want another game just to have a game. And you know, it's a game that's going to have to make sense RPI wise and in order to put our guys in a position for another win. I love that idea. I just, you know, we at this point, for lack of a better phrase, got bigger fish to fry. You know, we've got two huge games coming up out of conference next, and then we're off and running in the NEC. So we're more focused on what we got on the plate already than adding more to that.
So here's Cornell and SU week. How do you keep the guys from not looking at Sunday and keeping firmly focused on Tuesday?
I think it's easy. You know, Cornell's a great team and they don't really need to make an effort to get your attention. You just got to kind of watch them on film. You know, they're a good team. They're a physical team. And you know, there's two 2-0 groups that are just, you know, two heavyweights going at it on a Tuesday night in Ithaca. So if I have to get my guys to focus on this game, then we got bigger fish to fry. So there's no challenge. This is like we've said so many times, a mature group, a one day at a time group, and a present mind focused group. So I think our entire focus is on the Big Red right now, and we'll move on to Syracuse when we're afforded the opportunity.
If Hobart has to go up against Connor Busick, I think I'd rather it be on the sideline than on the field. We know what he was as a player. Tell us what you know about him as a coach.
You know, it's funny. The first year he coached, that was a game here. I think Coach Kirk was the coach, and they came and played here, and we were walking through the coaches' lines, just shaking hands before the game. And I said, you know, I just, I'm pretty excited. You're not in New Jersey today, buddy. You know, so he's, and he laughed and we got a chuckle about that. But, you know, Connor and I have actually gotten kind of close and, I got a lot of respect for him. I think he's a, very passionate person. And, I think he's a very good coach. You know, I think the energy he shows on the sidelines, the way his team's played in these first two games as a head coach, it just speaks wonders to who he is. And I have a ton of respect for the fact that he's garnered no other colors besides Cornell's to start his career as a player and as a coach. He's been there since he was 18 years old. So I don't think there's too many people that can claim they love that place as much or more than him. So, you know, I just, he's got our respect. I think he's a, I think he's a great guy, great person. So I'm anxious to compete against him tomorrow night.
Now they're in the same boat that you were 2 years ago. Last year, they had just a 5-game season. So you've been through this. Talk about basically integrating two new classes into a team as you had to do 2 years ago.
Yeah, they've got a great mix of experience and newcomers, really. A couple new names that you read on a Under Armour All-American website. You know, they have these top-level recruits, these ones that people talk about, but, you know, they don't have great experience. And they've got guys that have great experience but haven't played for 2 years. So it's like, how do you kind of weigh that balance? And I think all we're really doing, Ted, is just evaluating the energy and passion that they play with. So we're not worried about experience, this and that. We're looking at tendencies. We're looking at the way guys play. We're looking at, you know, we're basically got a new scouting report saying, hey, you know, whatever we thought of these guys in the past, keep in mind, Jeff Teed ain't on the field for him anymore, so that makes their offense much different. Not any worse, just different. And, you know, the things that they're doing defensively are pretty similar because I think everybody's back. They've got, you know, seniors and fifth-year seniors and grad seniors. And so, you know, I think if you go in this with, hey, here's what they did a couple of years ago, it's just foolish. They're a different team. They're just as competitive and just as balanced, but we've got a whole new scouting report for our guys and making sure they learn this team again in the short amount of time that we have.
Well, the Victor Blue Devils are turning out some pretty good lacrosse players. T.D. Erlin, one of the best faceoff guys ever to play the game, and now Chase Erlin in goal for Cornell is off to a great start.
Yeah, he's a great player. There's no way around it. Thankfully, we haven't seen too many poor goalies. I'm not sure if they're out there anymore, Ted. I mean, every time we play, every week we play, we're like, this guy's good, you know, he's good and he's well coached and this and that. But, you know, Chase is, we love the family, got a ton of respect for the family. I know the father well. I know the intensity that TD brings to what he does and the intensity that Chase brings to what he does. I knew him in high school and I just know he'll be very prepared. And he's a very balanced, emotional goalie, much like ours. So our guys are going to have to shoot good shots to smart spots and keep them coming because he's a guy that can impact the game dramatically.
Now, this is an interesting situation. It doesn't happen that often. You're coming off a game with Lehigh. They're coming off a game with Lehigh. Does that make the scouting any easier when you kind of have an apples-to-apples comparison to make?
To some degree, yeah. You know, I think, you know, we had our guys watch that whole game on Saturday and do it as a team. And I think the scout that you can develop from the knowledge that you have of the team that they're playing can be can accelerate the process to which you know a team for sure. Cause you know, our guys covered those guys last week and they watched Cornell do it. You can see some athleticism, you know, or see some differences in that. You see differences in system and, you know, you just look at what Lehigh tries to do to Cornell, they did the same thing to us and, you know, cut that field in half, grind that game down a little bit, shorten that clock and yada, yada, yada. So we just feel like, What happens in a clash in style with Cornell and Lehigh is the same as Hobart and Lehigh. And, you know, we're a full field team. Cornell's a full field team. And it's not to say Lehigh isn't, but they have much more focus on, you know, playing a tight packed defense and keeping the ball offensively for long periods of time and trusting their faceoff guy a bit. And so, you know, we're going from the clashing styles a week ago to now Cornell and Hobart are very similar in how they play this game and, you know, anxious to see who does it better.
when you think of Cornell historically over the years, you think of a high scoring team like a Syracuse. Is that still going to be their approach? Or with Erland in the goal, I mean, their first two games haven't been as high scoring as you might normally expect out of them. Will they still just try to run it up and down and match with you and score, outscore you, you know, 20-18?
Yeah, I think so. The Albany game, if you watch that, Albany played a ton of zone and, kept them in the half field with some possessions. I think, and Lehigh the same, made them beat that zone, made them beat their goalie and trusted the faceoff backs to get the ball back. Albany's got a good faceoff guy as well. I think that was their plan going into that thing. But, I think honestly, it's more about making them or providing the option for us to just play a mature and smart game from an execution standpoint. So, you look at who Cornell is offensively, and they're very capable from an end-to-end perspective. And they're also very capable, they've shown in these past two games against two opponents, scoring in the half field. So, they've just they've shown a maturity in molding to different styles and feeling the flow of the game. And they also take care of the ball pretty well. So, I believe that they're going to try and play fast. They're going to hunt us down out of the box and try to get downhill quick and get to the goal quick. But they're also a group that has shown they make good decisions with the ball. They're patient when they need to be. So I'm anxious to see what type of flow this game has and how much they're willing to go up and down.
I know injuries are always a little bit tricky, so I won't mention any names. I'll let you do that if you choose. But let's put it this way. Anybody that we expect to see back for this game?
Yeah, I don't have any problem telling you Derek's back and he's going to play. That's the one. Honestly, Ted, he probably could have played against Lehigh, and Derek's the guy that takes care of his body probably better than anybody we have and is outstandingly fit, and a little bit of worry here and there with what happened, but then right away he's like, yeah, I'm fine, I'm good. And we said, all right, and that's partly our great sports med staff. It's probably smart for you to stay out. So we're excited to have him back and be at full strength. That was one of the things that kept coming into question with Colgate. It's like, and talking to the Colgate coach, just, is this worth it? Are we sure we're doing the right thing here, putting our guys in this situation? And you got your Patriot League on the horizon. We got a big Tuesday game on the horizon, yada, yada. So I think this worked out good for a couple guys, Derek in particular, to get a little bit more rest, get a little bit more regeneration, rehab, and then and be a little bit more towards, if not all the way, 100% come Tuesday.
We talked going into the season about the decline of the man-up performance last year. It's back this year, playing very well. You got a couple of specialists on that unit. What's been the difference to getting that unit jump-started this year?
I think you mentioned it, Sam Ward and Alex Rosa. Yeah, two specialists that I'm very anxious to see how they handle a cold environment coming off the bench. And you got to stay warm. You got to keep your hands warm. You got to be prepared to handle the ball in the most intense ball handling scenario we can think of, that our extra man offense, which Coach Brennan has done a wonderful job with this year, is about quick ball movement and quick off ball movement and making sure you're throwing precise passes. So, those two guys have got their work cut out for them, feeling the game out, staying focused on the game, and then as soon as there's a penalty, going out and executing right away. So that's an easier thing to do in the Tom Poole Family Sports Dome than it is, in Schoelkopf Field in 25 degrees on Tuesday night. So, but I would say just, what Rosie does for us inside, Ted, is huge. And our guys are so confident giving him the ball, and making sure or knowing that he's going to make a good decision with it. And so, and he's relentless in there. If you watch him, his movement's awesome. And also the way that we trust Sam to catch the ball and finish, I think it's given us two elements to that power play that we just didn't have. And also I think, Tommy Arch, Derek, these guys that continuously heard about the failures of a year ago are, playing those possessions with a big chip on their shoulder and making sure that they're, not only executing, but proving a point that this is a focus for us. We're making that jump forward, and this is a high-power man-up unit that you don't want to put on the field.
when you talk about off ball movement, there was one man up where I'm doing the broadcast and I didn't see Sam Ward. And I said, is Ward out there? And then a second later, he caught the ball and scored. I said, okay, yeah, he's out there.
He's a slippery big guy. You know, he's quiet in his approach, but yeah, he's out there every man up.
So what do we look for in the first 5 or 6 minutes of this game that tells us it's going your way and you're playing the kind of style of lacrosse you want to play against Cornell?
I think smooth transitions end to end, you know, see what kind of groove Shea can get into. This is going to be an emotional game for us. I don't know as though, Ted, they have the respect for us that we have for them. We may have to earn that Tuesday, and I'm not sure we have earned it yet. So, you know, I think this is a matchup that's been heavily swayed in Cornell's favor and over the past 20 years or so. So it's up to us to set this pace and to make this thing go the way we want. Now, you know, the first 5 minutes is, how mature are we going to be? And we've talked a lot of that since that Yale scrimmage where we came out and I told you, match them physically, match them emotionally, but didn't play great. You know, we were too focused on that, making sure we played tough brand. We showed them what Geneva's like. We showed them what practicing on 5-20 is like. And we played very prideful, but we also didn't execute great. So can we bring that emotion and energy and execute a game plan from those first 5 minutes? But those first five minutes go quick, man. They do. And Cornell, every time I've ever been to Ithaca, has always started with a fierce push. They love a fast start. They love that first 5 minutes being for them, and that gets them rolling a little bit. So we're going to talk a lot about that today with our group and make sure that in those first 5 minutes we are prepared emotionally, very prepared physically, which I believe we are, but also prepared to execute at a high level. That's what championship caliber teams do.
What was the phrase in that Inside Lacrosse piece? Was it hustle and silence or something to that effect? I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I think Tommy and Arch did a great job with that article. I'm pleased that they chose not to single out one person. You know, you mentioned Dan Ryan and that mix and Wiley Sherman and Frank and Bruges, all the 5 fifth-year guys that came back and the impact that they're making for us. So hustle and silence, that could work really well into our credo. Those words aren't on the credo over here, Ted, but they might as well be. You know, this is strength of the wolf is the pack. Strength of the pack is the wolf. So, you know, we don't talk to refs. We don't talk to our opponent. We talk to each other. And we do everything for us, not so the other team feels anything. We're not really concerned with their emotions. So I'm very proud of the way the guys have handled the media over these past couple of weeks and, you know, anxious to see them have the opportunity to do it further.
Well, here we go. This is a huge week. At the end of this week, you're going to know a lot about this team and maybe the country is going to know a lot about this team. We hope that's the case, and we wish you good luck on Tuesday.
It's going to be a fun one, Ted. Thank you.